The American walks every day, normal, going to work. He's walking downtown in Manhattan, and all of a sudden, two planes hit the Twin Tower, and they have no clue why would somebody do such a thing.
Deliberate and deadly attacks, which were carried out yesterday against our country, were more than acts of terror. They were acts of war.
Radical Islam has declared the war. Radical Islam is at war now with the West.
When I saw the second airplane hit, I knew jihad had come to America.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
The Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm talking to that no pork eating American lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
I'm terrific. Good evening, Vito. Glad to be here. How are you?
I am doing well. Doing well. Thank you. And not as well as Matt Fitzpatrick, but I'm doing well.
what an open, huh?
Oh man, I'll tell you, it really was good. I have to admit, I was a little annoyed last night at no American winning the U.S. Open. And for those that don't know, the U.S. Open was played this past weekend, Thursday through Sunday. It was the 122nd U.S. Open, and it was at the famed Country Club in Brookline, Massachusetts, where in 1913, American amateur Francis Wee met. Beat two of the world's best at that time, and that would have been Harry Vardon and Ted Ray. And so that has been the beg with Brookline. Also, there's been some other tournaments, you know, two other U.S. Opens that were held there, and one was 50 years later to the day Julius Burrows beat Arnold Palmer to win the U.S. Open. And in 1999, Ryder Cup was played there when Justin Leonard sank the putt heard around the world at Brookline Country Club, which lifted the United States team with a come-from-behind win, beating the Euros after Captain Ben Crenshaw the night before gave a great statement to the press. And I tried uploading, I couldn't. So here's what this is what Ben Crenshaw said. I'm going to leave you with this thought. and then I'm going to leave. I'm a big believer in fate. I have a good feeling about this. That's all I'm going to tell you. And that's what I remember about Brookline. So the American team was down to the Euro team on Saturday after two rounds. And the United States needed a miracle in individual play on Sunday. There's 12 matches. The United States had to win at least 8 in order to take the Ryder Cup, and they did. So this weekend it was at Brookline. It was a tough course. It played over 7,200 yards. It had been lengthened over the last 100 years. Short holes, they had short par threes, 144, 101 yards yesterday. They were not easy. Short par fours, they had one hole that played 310 yards, and that was not easy uphill, you know, surrounded by bunkers and trouble. Scoring was high. It's exactly what the USGA wants. They want higher scoring, but at least they didn't have to trick up the course. And they let the course actually, you know, they left it natural. And, you know, the scoring was high. Brookline derailed many hope of winning, including world number one Scottie Scheffler, PGA champ Justin Thomas, defending champ, defending U.S. Open champ John Rahm, world number three Rory McIlroy, and a young superstar Will Zalatoris, because no lead was enough this weekend. And entering on Sunday's play, Will Zalatoris from America tied England's Matt Fitzpatrick, who, by the way, 9 years earlier, Fitzpatrick won the U.S. Amateur at the famed Brookline Country Club. So there was much talk about, you know, about Fitzpatrick. And Al, all I'm going to say is you can take it from here. Matt Fitzpatrick, when he teed off on the first hole, there was a look in his eye. And I, you know, I said it to my wife. I said, I watched him stand there and look at his target. And he teed off, and when he was done, he had a look. And I said, that guy, he's got a look of a champion. He's focused, and he looked like he was going to win. And didn't know it at the time. I mean, I was rooting for Scheffler and Zalatoris. I didn't think Zalatoris' putting would hold up, but, you know, Scheffler was world number one, and he had to avenge the poor showing he had Saturday that dropped him from the lead. But, wow, I mean, and in the end, it was England's Matt Fitzpatrick who won by one shot over Will Zalatoris, and it was a great tournament. It really was. For a shorter course, it was tough. It ate guys up. It made them look like me and you, you know, hitting out of bunkers twice. You know, the Adolf Hitler and, you know, yeah. Hitting at a rough and only hitting the ball like 3 feet. I mean, it was like, wow, this is kind of, I wouldn't break 100 on the course.
Well, that was a serious rough to the point that where I thought it was unplayable rough. I mean, I didn't think it was fair, but I guess that's part of what makes the Open. You get into trouble, you pay a price, heavy penalty.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and you know, overall, I thought the setup was fair. They you were penalized for not hitting the green, and they were small greens, and it ate Rory's lunch, man. Rory was hitting the ball 350 yards off the tee, but getting to the green was another story. And so it was. Fitzpatrick played great on Sunday. He made some key putts, and I got to give the kid a lot of credit, man. The young man hung in there, and he wins the U.S. Open for his first PGA Tour victory too.
Yep, we had a lot of no names in the first 2 days, a lot of unknowns who rose to the top and then fell apart, which was kind of exciting. And Danube, I guess, was the main one, and out of nowhere. And then he couldn't hold on, but he held on pretty long for 3 days, and then he fell apart.
Yeah, and it happens, you know. It does happen with the no names and the amateurs too. I mean,
sure. Shoot,
that poor guy, the amateur who came in first for the amateur division, he was one or two under par on Saturday and ended up taking a nine on a par five, and boom, he was done. It was done. He couldn't recover.
That's the beauty of this game, and it was great to see Rory, I hate Donald Trump, McIlroy, fold under pressure. That was a beautiful thing to watch. He was up there, up at the top of the leaderboard, and then I missed the end. But I came back an hour or two later, and then boom, he was down to one under and
one under.
Pretty much out of it. Yeah.
He was. He was out of it, I think, by the fourth or fifth hole. I mean, the announcers try to keep prop him up there, but, you know, him and Rahm just could not make any moves, and it was just – it was really a cool – it was a cool tournament. I wanted to see an American win, but I got to say I was very impressed by Matt Fitzpatrick. He finally broke through. He'd been struggling to get that first win, and it was really cool to see him win. And, of course, the spectacular way he did it was 9 years to the day he won the U.S. Amateur. Son of a gun. It just pisses you off.
Yeah, but what a great first win. That was quite an accomplishment to win an Open like that. So,
yeah.
So kudos to him. That's outstanding.
Yeah, he gets a 10-year exemption to the U.S. Open, and he gets a 5-year exemption, I think, on the PGA Tour. So this guy is set up for the next at least 5 years. And I think this might propel him to win more. I think we'll see him as he's at the top now. He won't stumble. Mm-hmm. I don't think he'll fall. So, and then LPGA
news.
As
Holder said, the LIV players did not fare so well. They took a beating.
Well, you know, it's really not fair to compare the LIV players, okay? Because there's three strikes against them as they just enter a tournament. First of all, it's a 72-hole event, not a 54. So they're scramble mentality. And then the other part is they're not guaranteed a check. I mean, there's a cut. And that has to add so much pressure to these fragile individuals, you know, especially Matt Wolf. He'd have to take extra medication knowing that, first of all, if they don't make the cut after 36 holes, they don't get a check. So that's got to wreak havoc on them. And then the last one is it's not a shotgun start. So what do they do with their beer? I mean, they're going to have to, you know, they have to have individual tee times, and it could be a 5-hour round. They don't know when they'll get done. And so it's just they're at so many disadvantages. And, you know, and as predicted, Phil Mickelson and Kevin Na went home early. But, hey, the guy that did go home early, two of them are – three of them, I think it was DJ, Dustin Johnson, DeChambeau, and I think Patrick Reed made the cut. So,
well, you got to admit, though, I mean, the shotgun start is pretty good when you have starting tee times at 6:30 in the morning, and then the number one, the top of the leaderboard, is going off at 2:45. That makes for a very long day. But also gives them a little bit of help watching if they can watch the earlier players, they can get a look on how the course is playing.
Right.
But then again, the USGA lets everybody play. There's no fear of lawsuits. It's actually a beautiful thing. Everybody can play at the USGA.
Well,
their sandbox is open to everybody.
This year.
Isn't that nice?
It's this year. It's anybody who qualified for this year's U.S. Open was eligible. Next year is a different story, so we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, we'll see what next year is next. But this year, open to everybody, and that's
right.
A good thing. So everybody got to play who qualified. So,
well, it's only right. I mean, they conducted all the qualifiers, and that wouldn't be right not letting the people in. Besides that, the PGA doesn't run the four majors, so, you know, it's
that's
up
right.
to the USGA. So. We'll see what happens
next year.
Yeah,
we'll see. Yeah, the PGA, they won't be able to blackball President Trump's courses or any of that nonsense. So,
yeah, poor LIV players got to be stressing. Oh, my God, we got four rounds. I don't get paid if I don't make the cut. Oh, what do I do?
You're whining. You sound like you're jealous a little bit.
Oh no, not jealous in the least. I'm fine with the PGA. I think these guys all made their name with the PGA, including Greg Norman. And then for them to diss Jack Nicklaus was just not cool. I'm sorry. I will not forgive Greg Norman for that. He also dissed Rory McIlroy. All he had to do was take the upper hand on this, but then he started to play the victim, and he's no different from the fucking Muslims who sit there and they all try to say that they're a victim now as they chop people's heads off and honor killings and all that other shit that happens all across the world. So, I got my opinion on it. So,
Hey, well, you used to hate McElroy. Now you love him. That's kind of...
I didn't say I loved him. I'm still not happy with the stance on it. But you know what? What I do respect is the fact that he is standing behind his words. So is John Rahm, and so did Justin Thomas. So I like the fact that they're speaking out and they're not these milquetoast players. Because that's the impression I had from some of these vanilla PGA guys. And they actually care. They stepped up to the plate. And, you know, they understand, you know, how they make their living and how they made their fame. And for another organization to come in and try to buy these players, I don't like the manner in which it was done. But, hey, you know what? This is free enterprise, and you can start. And it doesn't mean I have to like LIV, and it doesn't mean we have to like the PGA. So I just chose the side of the PGA.
Hey, that's what makes the world go round and round. But it is fun. It is fun to discuss.
It is. The LPGA, they had some exciting news this past weekend. They had a great tournament. The Meyer LPGA Classic was played in Belmont, Michigan. And the final day saw a regulation play end in a three-way tie. Ireland's Leona Maguire shot a final round 65, was tied with American's Jennifer Kupko, who shot a final round 71. And Nelly Korda, who's making her comeback after side effects from COVID shot. Side effects from blood clots. The Nelly Korda shot a final round 72. She could have walked away with this tournament, but she shot an even par. All three finished at 18 under par. And I'll tell you, for a 6,700-yard course to shoot 18 under par, these ladies lit it up. In the end, though, it was Jennifer Kupko who emerged as the victor, and she beat out both Maguire and Korda, and she notched her second LPGA Tour victory. So she's going to be a great player in her own right. She's learning how to win. Even though she didn't light it up on Sunday, shooting a 1-under-71, she was poised enough to hold on to the and win in the in a three-way playoff. So good for her. Good for her.
Yep, good solid player. It was
fun
watching the girls play. They have such nice swings. They're so smooth and easy and effortless.
Effortless is right. You know, I got to say, the one thing that endeared me to Jennifer Kupko, and she didn't win, I don't think she won up at she played this course up in Florida, North Florida, Golden Ocala. And it's a replica course to several courses like St. Andrews. And the ladies went up there, LPGA ladies, and they shot, I think she was like 12 under par. And I think one of them shot 50. So a little bit of sidetrack. So I play it, and it's like, well, shit. I mean, if Jennifer Kupko can shoot 12 under par, you know, and shoot 5 under for one day, I'm certainly can shoot 5. I shoot 7 over par. It's like, oh, my God. And then I said, well, you know, the caveat is I play from the back tee. So maybe that's what it was. I keep telling myself that. But, shit, that was a tough course. I couldn't believe it. So, you know, my hat's off to Jennifer Kupko, and it's going to be good to watch her. So that was a point of personal privilege. So, and we have some more sporting news, and we're on the subject of sports cycling news over the weekend. So, hey, we had some cycling news with Bonehead Biden, who shows how feeble and unstable and unsteady he is. He was falling up the stairs, walking up Air Force One to shuffling through the White House, now riding a bike, and bubbling Biden takes a fall. So Hank's going to cover a little bit more on Wednesdays, but kind of funny about him taking he comes to a complete stop and then just drops. It's like, give me a break, you know.
Well, how the fall happens was interesting because he did come to a stop. He did for a photo op because they wanted him to look virile and masculine and full of energy, except for on the pedals, they had the pedal cups so you could keep your feet in. But he came to a stop, and then his right foot got stuck in the pedal cup, and then he just fell like a bag. He just went over.
I'm very Oh, sorry. I was just
It was embarrassing. It was, and now it's the meme around the world that we have a president who falls over while wearing a helmet, going from 8 miles an hour to 0.0.
No, I got to tell you, this guy's dating himself, but and I know exactly the reference. Red Romer puts in the chat room, he looked like Artie Johnson from the old laughing program. Now, that is funny. That, if you remember, Artie Johnson would dress up in that rain suit, and he would.
So the funniest meme is President Trump. Yeah. The funniest meme is President Trump pushing President Biden on a bike with training wheels. And so now the memes are fast and furious and funnier than ever. And our president is laughable and embarrassment and shameful.
Yeah. Shameful is right. President shuffles, and he's gonna be talk tough to Putin and talk tough to the prince of Saudi Arabia. Oh my God. Sue brought this one up to my attention, and I gotta say this. Wait, real quick.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her, she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head?
Ah, thank you to Sue. Dean Martin would have been 107 years old on June 7th. He was born June 7th, 1917, and passed away on December 25th, Christmas Day, 1995. Billy Martin too. This song, I absolutely love this song. Dean Martin, Kick in the Head. Of course, Everybody Loves Somebody was his theme song. Dean was the man. From movies to music to the Dean Martin roast and variety, the guy was just a class act. Loved, you know, his Western movie with John Wayne, Rio Lobo. Loved his roasts. Dean Martin roasts were hysterical. There's something that could not be done today because of the fragile woke crowd. One of the funniest ones, I think, is the Sammy Davis Jr. roast. I love watching the Frank Sinatra roast with Peter, the guy who played Columbo, and Jonathan Winters. I mean, I'm crying after listening to those. Peter Falk, listening to those guys. So, Dino would have been 105. You know, the one thing about him, that he took it hard when his son Dean Jr. was killed. He was an Air National Guard pilot, and he was killed during maneuvers, and he was never the same. And I understand that Dean Martin was also the largest single individual stockholder of RCA stock. Don't know if that's true or not. That's the legendary info on him. So, and that was cool. Loved the guy. Loved his music. So damn suave. Oh, just he had his Dean Martin Jerry Lewis movies were fantastic. So, had to get that in there.
Yep. Well, you know, Bill Nye was talking about the newest national holiday. Is that on your list to go into on Juneteenth?
No. What the hell is Juneteenth? Who knows it was a national holiday?
Well, this is the newest national holiday. There was no mail service today. It's a federal holiday, and Bill Nye, the famous science guy, got a history lesson because he made an effort to commemorate the newest national holiday. Nye claimed on Twitter that America was built on slave labor and that the last slaves were freed on June 19th, 1865. Thus, we have the holiday, federal holiday of Juneteenth. Now, the United States we know today was built with the labor of enslaved black Americans, Nye wrote. The last were not freed officially until 19 June 1865. Let us celebrate and never forget.
Oh, my God.
The problem is that he forgot about the Emancipation Proclamation, and then because the American slaves were not officially freed until December of 1865 when the 13th Amendment was ratified and officially proclaimed, thus ending slavery, except as punishment for a crime. An estimated 4,000 to 4,500 remained slaves in two states, Kentucky and Delaware, and were freed at that time. However, I believe The slaves were freed when the Emancipation Proclamation was signed. Now, granted, it was signed in the middle of a civil war, which is amazing in itself, because the Civil War in part was to stop slavery. The other part was for economics, but slavery was definitely an issue within the Civil War. And President Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation freeing slaves. And then it was ratified with the 13th Amendment. This Juneteenth was because in Texas on June 19th, the Texas slaves were freed. And then now we have a national holiday, but this national holiday is not historically correct. And frankly, it is an embarrassment, in my opinion. It's not based on historical fact. It's based on wokeness and political correctness.
Isn't Bill Nye the science guy?
Yeah, science guy, yeah, so, but he doesn't know crap about history.
Hey, Bill, why don't you follow the science? I mean, I know you issued a mea culpa 2 hours ago on Twitter. You know, I want to thank my followers for pointing out Juneteenth did not mark the end of slavery. It was a milestone on the long road to freedom and a day chosen to celebrate and reflect. You know, why not choose, you know, July 16th? I mean, you know, this is so retarded. Honest to God, these people, this wokeness that is this Marxist culture that's destroying history and then rewriting history. So, you know,
right.
At least he had the balls to issue a mea culpa. You know, stick to the facts. You know, this isn't like climate change where you can just make anything up and people, you know, call you out. Okay, this is dumb. Absolutely dumb.
And you're right. It is rewriting history, and that's problematic because you don't rewrite history. Well, I guess you do rewrite history. It's being rewritten every day. It was being rewritten when the Black Lives Matter and Antifa were tearing down statues in every major city in the United States 2 years ago during all the riots. They're trying to rewrite the history of that era. Yeah, it's bad news, and it's not good. And now it's a federal holiday. I didn't realize it was a federal holiday until no mail today.
I didn't either. Oh my God, I'll tell you this. You know, this. I'm hoping at some point in time America comes to its senses. But you know, I'm not sure how far gone this country is, especially with the anti-Americans that are in Congress, in the White House, and in all departments of the United States government. I just, you know, and here's, you know, not along the lines, okay? Why I'm bringing this up is I was talking to a friend of mine on Wednesday who had been flying around. He was absolutely upset. He unleashed this tirade about the airlines, and actually it was my cousin, and he flies frequently, and he stopped flying, and he goes, you know, the one time that I decided to fly, I was flying to Connecticut, and he flies in. And the flight's delayed. Okay, so now he's got to go to a wedding, and the flight's delayed, and he can't get out. And they're citing weather conditions. So he calls our other cousin, and the other cousin says, "Weather conditions? Where are you guys having a bad storm where you're at?" He goes, "No, it's fine here." He goes, "There's no weather there." He goes, "We're okay here. I mean, it's clear." So he tries to book. He finds another flight with another airline and books it and gets there. Then on the way back, his flight gets delayed, not really delayed, but it gets canceled due to weather. And again, it's like, so he calls home, he speaks to, you know, his daughter-in-law, and she says, "There's no weather here, everything's fine." So he gets into it then with the airline. And they said, "Well, you know, when you go up 20,000 feet, you don't know what the weather's like." And he said, "That's bull. The fact is that you don't have the people." So then today on Twitter, I see this post: 20,000 plus flights were canceled over the weekend. It wasn't the weather. It's from pilot staff shortages. Now the government wants to punish the airlines for the delays when the government is to blame for the shortage of pilots. Pilots quit rather than take the vax. And you know what? That is the absolute truth. And I didn't think much of it, but in speaking to my cousin and some other people who have been flying, and they're having problems getting from point A to point B, and the reason the airlines are stating weather conditions as a reason for delays or cancellation is with a cancellation and it's a weather delay, they don't have to pay for someone's room. And so it cost my cousin and his wife $200 for the night to get a hotel and for food that the airlines did not have to pay. So this is what the U.S. government brought on with the China virus. They caused pilots to quit because pilots weren't taking the vax. They didn't take the jab because of the side effects. That their fellow pilots, some of their fellow pilots are developing blood clots. Some were dying as that one pilot did on a runway. Actually, two now died on a runway, one in Canada, one in up north, from the China virus vaccine. And then, of course, the blood clot issue that is impacting the pilots. So this whole thing, you know, the airlines is taking it on two chins. One is they lost pilots from the China virus. And secondly, now they're losing business because you've got, you know, this administration, if you want to call it this regime, excuse me, the Biden-Harris regime is doing nothing about gas prices. And it's directly affecting the airline industry. What used to be a cost of for $100, if you didn't have any luggage or if you had a carry-on, $100 round trip to Vegas now is $500, $550, $600, you know, for two people to fly to Vegas. And it's insane what we're seeing today, Al. And I thought this, you know, I probably would have discounted it, but I had this conversation twice last week about the airlines. And then I see this post today on Twitter, and it's just it is so true. The damage that the Biden-Harris regime have done to the United States of America business-wise and mentality and mental-wise to the American people, I'm hoping that we can recover from this. It's just incredible what we've seen from this anti-free enterprise and anti-capitalist that are occupying the White House. And in other news, if it wasn't enough that you had enough of George Soros and you thought maybe that George Soros would be getting his ass handed to him in elections, George Soros is back. Soros-backed candidate ousts Maine district attorney following major cash injection into race. And this is what Soros is doing. He goes into these obscure state's attorney races, district attorney races in communities and small cities and towns around the United States, including St. Louis and Los Angeles, Orlando, Miami, and now in Maine. Jacqueline Satoris had raised about half as much as her incumbent opponent until Soros-backed Super PAC spent nearly $400,000 on the local race. Maine attorney backed by billionaire George Soros has ousted incumbent prosecutor Jonathan Sarbeck in the state's largest county. Jacqueline Satoris won roughly 65% of the vote in Cumberland County district attorney race. And I'm going to tell you, we sit here and we watch the lawlessness, the civil unrest that's occurring around the United States, the fact that prosecutions are not being sought. We're watching like in San Francisco where you've got these people raiding businesses and stealing to the point where you've got major drugstore chains are closing up inside the city of San Francisco because it's absolute lawlessness. And it turns out that, you know, you have a communist as a district attorney, a state's attorney, district attorney in San Francisco. And now you've got the same issue that's going to happen in Maine. And it's sickening, you know. In Orlando, Florida, Sergeant Deborah Clayton was shot point blank five times by a scumbag murderer who murdered his wife, his girlfriend, an unborn baby, and he callously shot to death Sergeant Deborah Clayton. And Deborah Clayton, let me tell you, is an individual who, she was a beautiful lady from the people that I've spoken to, and she cared about her community. And Marquez Lloyd shot and killed her. And the relevance to this is that the state attorney that was to prosecute this case in the Orlando or Orange Osceola County area, sorry, I'm reading my notes here, the Orange Osceola County was a Soros-backed state's attorney. and she refused the death penalty. And so at the time, it was then Governor Rick Scott who took the case out of Orange Seminole County and brought it down to Lee County to have the district attorney down in Lee, a state's attorney in Lee County, prosecute the case to prosecute Marquise Lloyd. If found guilty, requested death penalty. George Soros is a cancer. George Soros is an anti-American. He's an anti-constitutionalist. And he is a destructive individual. And this is what he does. This is what Soros does. He goes around and he buys these state's attorneys. So you wonder why we have criminals walking the street today. You wonder why nothing happens to Nancy Pelosi's husband after a drunk driving charge and property damage with these elitists, because you've got these Soros and these Marxist act individuals who are now leading the state's attorneys, and so much for the rule of law. I don't know if you saw that story, Al.
Yeah. It's good news.
Yeah. You know, and this has become a problem inside of the United States. And why is Soros doing this? What is his main objective into destroying the legal system, destroying our constitutional republic, our rule of law? And this is the scary part of it. He was emboldened by Barack Hussein Totoro Obama. You know, he found a pigeon in Obama, and all the guy's done is make money off of the American taxpayer backs and then support these anti-Americans and anarchy in America, including Occupation Wall Street and Antifa thugs.
Well, it's a great question. It is a Marxist communist, which Soros is, and he wants to destroy the United States. The best way to do it is to tear apart and fracture our rule of law and our society. And these district attorney seats are the least watched and visible, because nobody knows who the district attorney is, or judgeships for that matter. And he's putting in roughly $1 million per seat, which is cheap. So he gets his people in these seats in cities throughout the country. And what we've seen from these, like Garcon in California, is that they do not prosecute criminals. It's a revolving door. Criminals come in, they get out, they don't get prosecuted. So criminals are getting on this, and they're just being let go to commit more crime, causing unrest and chaos. And that is exactly what the Marxists want at that level. And that's what's happening, in my opinion.
Hey, you know what? It's a great – no. You nailed it right – you gave it right on the head, man, and you hit that out of the park. And our listeners and the global patriots that are all around the United States should take note about their local state's attorney races, and look for anything that's a Soros backpack, and you'll see what this organization is doing. The main super PAC is called Justice, Maine Justice and Safety. So if it's called Maine Justice and Safety, then you can bet that in your state, in your respective states, it'll have something similar to that. But connect the dots. I was talking to my cousin down in Orlando, and he said he wondered why there was not a debate between the incumbent state attorney and the new one, and now he understands why, he understood why. And so I believe that individual had been knocked out. So I think she's no longer the state's attorney. So it's disgusting. Look what he did in Maine, of all places. And now, like you said, it's to undermine the rule of law in America.
And our country is founded on the rule of law. In fact, it's a cornerstone that keeps our constitutional republic intact and functioning properly, is that we the people can go to work, conduct our lives as we want without fear of attack, and then if something should happen that requires the legal system, whether as a victim or a perp, you can rest assured that if you're guilty, you go to jail, and on the victim side, if you're attacked, then you can rest assured that the victim will do jail time and be served a just punishment for his crime, but that's being tossed on its head.
It really is. And it was very telling with the Sergeant Deborah Clayton of the Orlando Police Department, you know, shot point blank range and five times. And the state's attorney, the Soros backed state's attorney, refused the death penalty to seek the death penalty. So kudos to Governor Rick Scott, now Senator Rick Scott of Florida, for not wavering and removing the state's attorney from that case and going, you know, down and putting it into a place where who respects law enforcement and has been prosecuted.
So when elections roll around, these local races are the most important and are going to affect your life more than any of the other federal elections. So watch them. But there is a bit of good news.
What's that?
Leah Thomas.
Ooh.
Or William Thomas was banned from swimming in college sports. So the swimming world's governing body, FINA, announced a ban Sunday on biological men competing in women's events unless they transition before the age of 12. Now, Leah Thomas is that male college swimmer who went in and is just blowing all these records away. Well, he finally got banned, and he is William Thomas. He is not Leah Thomas. So Thomas got banned from competing as a woman in college swimming competitions.
I think, you know what? I think ESPN got an interview with Leah Thomas. Here it is.
William?
Well, you know what? It's about damn time that the NCAA or whoever the body was actually did something. You know, with all the hysteria about supporting women's sports, and then for dudes to cross dress, and then to proclaim that they're a girl or they're a female, and then blow the women away, the biological women away, and take much needed and sought after scholarships and awards and accolades for their hard work. It's about damn time, because if it's about women's sports and equal rights for women, why aren't we demanding that biological men who pose as women not be allowed to compete? It's insane.
I mean, 10 years ago, to think that we're even having this discussion, I would have laughed at you.
I know.
I said, no way. This is so crazy. But common sense has prevailed, at least in this case. It took a long time for it to happen, and a lot of it is due to Ron DeSantis, who signed a law banning Florida schools teaching kindergartens about sexual orientation and gender identity. So in a roundabout way, you can thank Ron DeSantis for bringing this subject and putting the roadblock in to these gender warriors.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, this is it's insane. And you know what? Women deserve to have equal rights in sports, and to have it be, you know, sidetracked by this farce of men cross-dressing because they can't compete with other men. And so now they have to feel good about destroying, you know, women and what women have worked for their entire, you know, lives. I mean, it's insane. It's absolutely insane what we've seen today for less than 1% of the population, too, by the way. I mean, even Martina Navratilova was against this, and, you know, and she's openly gay.
Yeah. And now they're having this whole thing with minors. To give them puberty blockers sex hormone shots and transitioning these kids. And legally, a minor can't even sign into a contract, a legally binding contract, because they're minors. But they're allowing minors without parental consent to do these radical medical procedures and take these drugs that – these hormone blockers that actually mess you up. And then let's say the poor kid is maybe a little messed up, and then their XX or XY chromosomes take over, and they get older and they realize, oops, I made a mistake. There's no turning back on some of these puberty blocker drugs transitioning drugs, and then they're really screwed.
Hey, but at least they can't buy an AK, you know, 47 or AR-15, so.
Oh, until they're 21?
21, yeah. Yeah, well, we can trust them to make a decision about, you know, sex change and all that. That's just it's so perverted. It should be child abuse is what it should be. My God, let kids
be
kids. My goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, well, speaking of the AR-15s, now the White House, you know, the Republicans are now talking to the Democrats about fair gun regulations. And our rhinos are well on the way, our 10 favorite rhinos, including McConnell. So while the Republicans are cozying up to the Democrats to destroy our Second Amendment, the White House is now going after ammunition sales through the back door. And the Republicans are letting that happen. So McConnell, screw you and all you Republican rhinos that are playing ball and messing with the Second Amendment.
The Second Amendment of the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Don't know what part of that Mitch, you know, Foghorn, Leghorn, McConnell doesn't understand what his nine fellow rhino Republicans don't understand. But they certainly make a case for being a one-party system in the United States, don't they? The anti-constitutionalists are alive and well in Washington, D.C. for one reason only, and that is power. And it's just disgusting what we're seeing. It's despicable. It is despicable that those that call themselves Republicans, okay, would even entertain, you know, upending the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, unless of course they're worried about one thing, and that's control and power.
It's all about control and power.
That's exactly right.
Because these legislators, these Democrats that want to take our Second Amendment away, they're the ones that have armed guards following them around.
Yeah.
They have bodyguards because they can afford it, and the taxpayers are paying for it. So they're against guns. They don't want we, the people, defending ourselves. They want us to be defenseless while they go ahead and, being the hypocrites that they are, that they go ahead and get bodyguards with guns to protect them because they're so much more important than we are.
Yeah, and why does the U.S. Why does the government need an AR-15, by the way, or an equivalent, huh? Why do they need that? Are they afraid of the people? I mean, what are they afraid of?
I don't know. A .357 has a bigger cartridge than an AR-15, which is a .223, which is very small if you want to get cartridge size. But we all know that the Second Amendment is to have a well-armed people for a government that gets out of control.
Correct.
That's why our founding fathers put the Second Amendment into the Constitution of the United States, because they understood human nature. Not that we, the people, are going to be able to compete with a well-armed government, but it did have its effect during World War II, as far as with some of our adversaries were reluctant to invade the United States because they knew that just about every American had a gun in their house. So behind every bush is an American with a gun, which caused some of our adversaries during World War II who had vision of attacking America and invading our soil, they thought twice about it and never did it. And that's part of the reason why.
The Imperial Japs, they decided not to, they were reluctant to invade the United States for that very reason.
Right. So get armed and get trained. That's my recommendation.
So I was reading Bigfoot'sPlace.blogspot.com this weekend, and he had some pictures, a little bit of Gatlinburg. And as he put in the chat room, he is listening from Gatlinburg. I hope you're enjoying Big. Saturday, he is on a warm, sunny Saturday in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, which is the 80th birthday of multi-talented musician Paul McCartney. Here are some things going on. So as usual, you know, I read the read his blog spot on a daily basis, and you know, the American thinker, why the DC swamp hates former President Trump, And then yesterday, a town hall link article he Bigfoot put in the in his blog was from townhall.com. Pro-abortion protesters gather outside the home of Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett. And now that really prompted a time to vent. And I don't know why, but in reading the article, and I'll see if I can put a link in the chat room, it really inspired some more thought on this subject. And also it really inspired how anti-constitutional of a Congress we have, and how this regime, this Biden-Harris regime, do not respect the rule of law. So I'm going to take this time to vent. So sit back, and if you care to comment, please do in the chat room, and feel free, if after this rant, to call in. And I'd like to hear your comments, or we'd like to hear your comments. 319-527-6706. That's 319-527-6706. So yesterday, while I was reading bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, I came across the story from townhall.com. Pro-abortion protest erupt outside Justice Coney Barrett's home, soaked in bloodstained clothes. And I'll tell you, these rotten bastards that are on the left side of the aisle are disgusting. The Muslim Brotherhood, you know, for 10 years, we've brought you, our listeners, we tried to enlighten you on and awaken you on the Muslim Brotherhood and their attempt to undermine our constitutional republic. And the Muslim Brotherhood has aligned with the Democrat Party to undermine our country, our values, and our Constitution. And today in 2020, the undermining of America's Constitution, the rule of law, is not done just by the Muslim Brotherhood, but by the Democrat Party and the swamp in Washington, D.C. And I don't know about you, but I am outraged over this supposed leak of this draft. I'm outraged by the negligence of the Biden Justice Department, including U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland, who is derelict in his duty to protect the judicial branch of government, the justices of the United States Supreme Court. I'm outraged at the United States Senate, now led by anti-American Chuck Schumer, where the Democrats, the swamp, suddenly equate protesting U.S. Supreme Court justices' personal residences as free speech. Okay, you can justify protesting at a U.S. Supreme Court justice's residence as being free speech. What we've learned, especially over the last 6 weeks, is the rule of law means nothing to the destructive Democrat Party and the swamp. Because the swamp is made up of politicians on both sides of the political aisle, Democrats and Republicans, and of course the cowards known as independents that serve in Congress. The Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, is derelict in her duty, not demanding that U.S. law be upheld in protecting members of the judicial branch of government, including the United States Supreme Court justices, and derelict speaking was an instrument. It was instrumental in seeing to any legislation to protect justices of the United States Supreme Court that was being squashed in the United States House of Representatives by Pelosi. Pelosi did that. She squashed legislation. As you know, on Mother's Day weekend, the destructive Democrat Party saw to a draft on abortion be leaked from the U.S. Supreme Court, leaked to the general public to distract from Biden's bungling of both domestic and foreign policies, including leading America into a recession. So preying on Americans' emotions and emotional heartstrings to distract was employed for the midterm elections. Justice Samuel Alito and his family had to be taken to an undisclosed location for their safety while doing his constitutional duty. This is a piece from an article. Justice Samuel Alito has reportedly been moved to an undisclosed location for safety after left-wing radicals attempting to intimidate conservative justices for considering overruling Roe v. Wade, all in the name of Ruth Bader Ginsburg listed conservative justice home address online. They doxed the conservative justices. And isn't it ironic? As bumbling Biden shamelessly blames MAGA supporters for being violent, the real anti-American violent thugs are members of the left-wing Democrat Party in America, the destructive Democrat Party. But it doesn't end there. The destructive Democrat Party is also led by Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer, who rally their radicals to intimidate, bully, and manipulate members of the United States Supreme Court. Obama and Pelosi and Schumer incited their radical base to violence. Chuck Schumer, like other destructive Democrats, likes to cherry-pick laws when he was asked about protesting in front of his house. And this is what Schmuck had to say. If protests are peaceful, yes. My house, there's protests 3 or 4 times a week outside my house. The American way to peacefully protest is okay, Schumer said before checking his ringing phone, noting his wife was calling him. I guess his wife was calling him because she knew he was lying. Except, Chuck, there is a U.S. statute, a rule of law that states otherwise. And then, of course, you have Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, who has called for protests. We're asking you to join with activists who have been sounding the alarm on this issue for years and act. Stand with them at local protests. Volunteer with them on campaigns. Join them urging Congress to codify Roe into law. The intimidation has begun. These anti-American mouthpieces knew exactly what that meant because Obama, Pelosi, and Schumer believe in bullying. They believe in intimidation and manipulation as a tactic to undermine our constitutional republic. And why is Attorney General Merrick Garland negligent and Chuck Schumer lying? Because U.S. federal law, 18 U.S.C. Code, subsection 1507, states the following. Whoever, with the intent of interfering with, obstructing, or impeding the administration of justice, or with the intent of influencing any judge, juror, witness, or court officer in the discharge of his duty, pickets or parades in or near a building housing a court of the United States, or in or near a building of residence occupied or used by such judge, juror, witness, or court officer, or with such intent uses any sound truck or similar device, or resorts to any other demonstration in or near any such building or residence shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both. Nothing in this section shall interfere with or prevent the exercise by any court of the United States of its power to punish contempt. Picketing, parading in or near a building housing a court of the United States or residence occupied or used by such judge shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both. See, but the destructive Democrat senators such as Schmuck Schumer and Chris Coons, okay, now are redefining protesting. They're redefining U.S. Code subsection 1507. Chris Coons had to say this. He stated arresting protesters in front of a justice house is a judgment call. Really, a judgment call? Is that what the House and Justice Department used to arrest citizens who attended January 6th rally in December? Some didn't even go into the damn Capitol. It was a judgment call, huh? That's what a judgment call is? Coons tried to justify the illegal and unlawful protesting as being a First Amendment right. The destructive Democrats leaked the draft. And now they justify lawbreaking by stating the following. As an elected official, this is Chris Coons, by the way, as an elected official, I've certainly had enough protests outside my house. And I think that's a critical part of the First Amendment and the ability of Americans to express their anger, their discontent, their unhappiness, and either elected officials or the judge branch, Coons said. But I do not think we need to, I do think we need to be mindful given credible recent threats and given a tragic incident that happened in New Jersey. Now, it's ironic, isn't it, that Senator Coons and Senator Schumer both used the same tactic. I have been protested outside my home, and then they tried to redefine the law. Now suddenly a freedom of speech comes into play, except Senator Coons and except Senator Schumer. There is a law that is on the books. It is U.S. Federal Law 18 U.S.C. subsection 1507, and I'll put it in the chat room. And it specifically states that you can't protest in or near a building or residence occupied by such a judge. It says it right here, U.S. subsection 1507. And these United States senators, these scumbags in the United States Senate now, are trying to whitewash this entire thing because they intentionally leaked a draft. Now, the Attorney General of the United States stated they are providing 24/7 protection, including at their residences. What about enforcing the rule of law, Merrick? Huh? What about enforcing the rule of law? Nothing has been done by the fraud at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. 18 U.S. Code subsection 1507 has been violated. So who are the true insurrectionists? Who are those working to undermine the United States of America and the rule of law? I'll tell you who. It's the destructive Democrat Party. It's the swamp. It's members of both sides of the political aisle and the cowards classified as independents in Congress. But first, the destructive Democrat Party incited to violence after they had a draft intentionally leaked from the U.S. Supreme Court. Then next, a U.S. Justice, Samuel Alito, and his family had to be immediately placed in an undisclosed location for protection. Why? Because the destructive Democrat Party and their extreme followers are violent. Left-wingers who enjoy civil unrest and upending the rule of law with dispatch, they are the real radicals, not the MAGA supporters. And then next, you got death threats and intimidation were used to manipulate and undermine the United States Supreme Court. And folks, the Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland, has done nothing. Yet despite 18 U.S. Code subsection 1507, the rule of law, picketing or parading any judge with intent to influence or interfere or obstruct a judge is punishable by 1 year in jail or a fine or both. Now, the Speaker of the House, who has taken an oath of office every 2 years, for the past 30 years to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution, did and said nothing. Along with her destructive anti-American counterparts in the United States Senate, Democrat Chuck Schumer has done nothing but incite to violence his base. But neither did the swamp, who calls themselves Republicans, such as House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. God forbid something did happen to these justices. What would the outcry be from the anti-American frauds in Congress, huh? What about the anti-Americans in the White House? Some feigned outrage. How could this happen? How? Really? I don't care if you're pro-life or pro-abortion. These attacks should outrage each and every American. Where are the moral leaders in upholding the rule of law? Where are the moral leaders to uphold the United States Constitution? Where are the moral leaders expressing disgust and outrage at our government institution is being attacked with the blessings of the destructive Democrat Party? Where is the moral leadership in protecting and defending the three branches of government which make up and represent our constitutional republic? the executive branch, the judicial branch, the legislative branches of government. America is devoid of any leadership in Washington, D.C., including moral leadership, to do what is right under America's rule of law. I mean, just last week, a destructive and violent Democrat had a knife and zip ties with the intent to seek out and assassinate a Supreme Court justice, Justice Brett Kavanaugh. And the Attorney General of the United States did nothing. The DNC state media swept this attempt under the rug. And after all, They are one of their own destructive Democrat Party members. I mean, was attempting to assassinate a sitting Supreme Court justice? The destructive Democrat Party and the swamp did nothing. It's accepted practice now to label a judge either liberal or conservative. With the current anti-American, anti-constitutional wokeness climate, sights now are set on those justices who have been labeled conservative. Conservative Supreme Court justices who are doing nothing more than upholding the United States Constitution and discipline set up by our founding fathers. Yet when conservative Supreme Court justices are in the crosshairs of the left wing, the destructive Democrat Party, it's now an accepted practice to bully, intimidate, and manipulate, oh, and by the way, and assassinate a sitting judge. Silence from the top down. Silence from the divisive buffoon Joe Biden and from his hapless sidekick Kamala Harris. Silence from the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, and Senator Chuck Schumer. Silence from AG Merrick Garland, who one would think would be out in front leading the charge in total and utter disgust how the United States Supreme Court justices are being attacked. Unless you're a parent who attends a school board meeting and you step up to the microphone to speak out against CRT in a peaceful way, you will be labeled an extremist by the destructive Democrat Party, and Attorney General Merrick Garland will seek you out, have you investigated, and arrest you. But these are conservative justices being attacked by the left wing, so it's acceptable practice today in America. Protesting in front of the conservative justices' homes in violation of 18 U.S. Code subsection 1507, the rule of law, it's okay to obstruct it. Where is the outrage by minority leader in Congress, Kevin McCarthy? That vanilla individual. How about Mitch McConnell, silenced by the swamp, by the establishment, as members of this uniparty accept this radical intimidation and bullying of members of the United States Supreme Court? Justice Kavanaugh was sought out to be assassinated, and there's total silence in Washington, D.C. by both sides of the political aisle? Well, he had a few outliers, Vito, who expressed outrage, but where are the so-called Republicans speaking out and demanding answers from Attorney General Merrick Garland? Pro-abortion protesters attacking Catholic churches, disrupting church services and vandalizing churches, doctors' offices, and pro-life centers. And where's the outrage? The violence is totally acceptable by the destructive Democrat Party. And the cowards in Congress who are running for re-election know that abortion can be the third rail of a campaign. So they remain silent. Which is why the destructive Democrat Party sought to have a draft leaked in an election year. However, if you only truly believe in the rule of law being upheld, it's not about being pro-abortion or pro-life. It's about upholding the rule of law and protection of our republic. The real insurrectionists are members of the Democrat Destructive Party, the swamp, the Destructive Democrat Party. And now that same destructive Democrat Party has set their sights on bullying and intimidating justices. Now the attempt to manipulate and bully has reached Justice Amy Coney Barrett's home. Destructive Democrat Party enlisted their radical lawbreakers, the extremist group Rise Up for Abortion Rights, to defy and break the rule of law, dressed in white clothing and soaked their pants in red dye. And you can imagine what that meant. These extremists were allowed to protest outside yet another Supreme Court justice's residence in total violation of 18 U.S. Code subsection 1507. And I'm going to repeat it over and over again. You see, the rule of law no longer matters to the destructive Democrat Party and their sick anti-American violent followers. And as long as you're labeled a conservative in America, you are now fair game for the left-wing bullying, intimidation, and manipulation. And of course, with the help of the left-wing controlled media for the radical anti-American government presently running and rooting the United States of America. The rule of law is simply a meaningless slogan used by the destructive Democrats such as Biden, Harris, Obama, Pelosi, and Schumer. Obama's incitement to violence went as follows, but we're not asking you to think about these people, their statement concluded. We're asking you to join the activists who been sounding the alarm on this issue for years and act, stand with them in local protests, volunteer with them on the campaign. It wasn't like President Trump called to peaceably walk to the Capitol and protest at the Capitol. And you have this swamp. You have the destructive Democrat Party, the partisan Democrat Party, who is acting as a lynch mob to take up President Trump with this phony January 6th commission. And yet you've got Obama, you've got Schumer inciting their followers to violence. Obama knows full well the destructive Democrat Party and their followers can get violent. We all witnessed that for 18 months across America as they burned cities and attacked, maimed, and killed law enforcement. Billions of dollars of property damage by the destructive Democrat Party. Our U.S. Supreme Court, the judicial branch of government, is under attack by the radical anti-American element in the United States. That element is known as the Democrat Party, but they also have help from those who are so-called Republicans. What we are seeing today in the United States is total and utter disgrace, the perversion of U.S. law, all by destructive elements seeking to undermine our constitutional republic. And yes, I'm outraged. This is being allowed to happen to one branch of our government, the judicial branch of government, while the executive and legislative branches sit idly by allowing the bullying, intimidation, and the attempted assassination to occur, all because of their extreme political belief system, abortion. But this is what Marxists do. This is what demented Democrats do. They care nothing for the United States of America, nor the rule of law. The ends justify their radical anti-American means, and that is to attack the United States Supreme Court justices, attack the judicial branch of government, which is an attack on the United States Constitution. Here are two phone numbers for the Attorney General's office. One, you can leave a comment. Area code 202-353-1555. That's area code 202-353-1555. And if you want to speak to somebody live, you call the Department of Justice main switchboard, 202-514-2000. That's area code 202-514-2000. Call and speak to the Attorney General's office and express to them you're outraged. No cursing, no threats, but express your outrage as an American, your outrage at the rule of law against protesting in front of the U.S. Supreme Court justices are not being enforced. This isn't about party affiliation. This is about the perversion of our republic, about our Constitution. The attack on the judicial branch of government is an attack on our constitutional republic. Al, this is insane what we're seeing today. Insane. And when I read that story yesterday about pro-abortionists now are in front of Justice Amy Coney Brown's house, it disgusts me. It's total disgust.
And I think it would seem that the justices understand the law. They understand U.S. Code 1507 and why they're not enforcing it on their own residences beyond me. I don't understand that. The leak of the has never been is it even being investigated? We don't know. I haven't heard anything. Remember the brief that was leaked that started all this?
7 weeks now.
Nothing has happened. Talking about a closed leak with a limited number of people, it would be only law clerks for the Supreme Court of the United States that would have access to that information. You're talking about a closed loop. That's it? So what do the Republicans do in natural fashion, as they've done before? U.S. Rep. Mike Johnson, Republican of Louisiana, a dozen Republicans introduced a bill called the Leaker Accountability Act, which could impose prison sentences for anyone involved in future high court leaks. Well, that's like closing the barn after the horse got out. It means a lot of noise that means absolutely nothing because there's already rules on the books that make this a crime. So why aren't they investigating? It's because they're scared. Every branch of government has an interest in maintaining a level of autonomy. Right, so the investigation appears well within the wheelhouse of the high court for now. However, if you launch an investigation, you don't ascertain the culprit, it ends up harming the institution further, he said, noting failure can look a lot like an inability to manage your own internal workings. Launching an investigation carries its own risks, and that's something largely committed to the discretion of the Chief Justice. There's always some risk. So now the fear and the risk of an investigation has put them into non-action, sitting on their hands. It sounds like the Republican Party has a long history of doing this.
Yep.
They're afraid.
They are. And the Democrat Party understands that. And we got a call. We have a call. I'm going to take.
Yeah.
I think this is Sue. Hey, Sue. This is Vito and Al. How are you?
Hey, Sue.
Hi. I'm doing good. You know, every time I hear this, something runs through my mind. And just bear with me. If one of these, we know that there's no way Joe Biden or his mafia can put in another Supreme Court judge. You know, none of the conservatives are going to go anywhere. And so their only hope right now is SCOTUS, somebody is killed, and then they can replace someone, or they intimidate so much, someone resigns. But, you know, in the next presidential election, it's pretty much guaranteed it's going to be, I think, a conservative will win the presidency. So have you thought about that, the consequences, and this may be another reason they're not really moving on this?
Good point. No, I hadn't thought about the aspect of the Democrat, destructive Democrat Party intimidating to the fact of trying to have one of the justices depart, and why they went after Judge Kavanaugh, who they maligned and they beat up. And so he's still battered and bruised, and he may sit there and say, I don't need any more of this garbage, and he decides he's going to resign. So that's a great point. I didn't think about that aspect of it.
Yeah, and then they can switch the without packing it, then it's going to go back to your radical or, you know, led court instead of what we have now. And I think that has a lot to do, you know, maybe not with McConnell and them. They're just stupid. But I wouldn't put it past Schumer or Pelosi or any of them. And they're out there, Obama, inciting violence, you know, get out there, go to their houses. They've already had, you know, the one guy they caught. There's a lot of crazies out there, and they know it too. So, you know, anyway, that's all I have to say. But, you know, that's been running through my mind, is this their one chance to get the court the way they want it before they lose everything.
That's a really good point, and I'll tell you why. to go back to, you said court packing, okay? You know, Schumer was the one that presented that once they took control of the United States Senate. And it met with a lot of pushback, okay, from politicians, including some people in his own party. And you notice now that court packing is not even a subject anymore, or it's not been brought up. So what's the other method to use? The other method would be there are two junior associate justices, and they're not going after Kagan and they're not going after Sotomayor, but they're going after Kavanaugh and now Amy Coney Barrett. You know, Barrett's got, what, five or six kids, including, and then plus two adopted. And then you've got, you know, Brett Kavanaugh, who they absolutely unrelentlessly, you know, beat this guy up during the hearings. So again, here you have Kavanaugh who's been, you know, down that road. Does he want to go down that road anymore over such a controversial issue? But, and it was the Democrat Party who intentionally leaked this draft, so that while we're having this discussion as if it was written in stone, and as Mike stated, Hawkeye Mike on Hank's show, a draft means nothing. It's just an opinion that is not even a rule or regulation. It's just from one of the associates, and all associates write drafts. How did this one get leaked?
I think it was, I think there's some nefarious things going on, and I think Schumer, Obama, Pelosi, I think they're all behind it. I think they know what they're doing, and, you know, anyway, that's just it. But I'm going to go ahead and get off and let you. I just wanted to throw that in because it just keeps bothering me.
Yeah, great
okay,
point.
Bye.
Bye, Sue. Take care. I'll put you back on hold.
Bye, Sue. Great call.
I have, you know, that's a really good aspect of it. And here you've been intimidating justices and the fragile one on this point, they think is Kavanaugh. And as she said, then, you know, there are no conservative judges with the exception of maybe Thomas who are contemplating leaving, but I don't think Thomas would leave until the next election at least. So.
Yeah. And you have the Democrats, and they're not afraid to go after Justice Thomas's wife, Jenny Thomas, for some emails that she wrote. And they have CNN and the media piling on and making it a news story. That's the big difference.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, you want to talk about hypocrisy at the nth degree? I mean, here you have Hillary Rodham Clinton destroying 30,000 emails. Here you have the emails and the hard drive of one sordid individual, Hunter Biden, the president's son, who actually shows how much the president, the big guy, has been bought, how they sold the Biden crime family, has sold America and their souls to enemies like China and, of course, Ukraine, and who knows how much, you know, they sold to Russia. And those are off base, and yet, what? The Justice Thomas's wife? They go after his wife. That's how cheap and sordid the destructive Democrat Party is. They're a bunch of whores. They are on the left hand side of the aisle. God
yeah.
Almighty.
Well, they know how to isolate and attack their opponent.
Yeah.
This is war for them.
It is.
They don't mess around. You have to respect the enemy that they know how to go after the Republicans to make them cower and act like the fools that they are. And just look at the Second Amendment. It's happening there, too, with McConnell.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, here you have a situation where the Democrats, when they're in the minority, okay, and like when Paul Ryan was the Speaker of the House, and the Democrats were demanding, that they be heard and that their policies be debated and taken upon. And now they're the majority, they could give a crap about the Republicans, anything the Republicans say, And they're ramrodding and shoving legislation down our throats. They're spending like drunken sailors, and I apologize to drunken sailors, and they have absolutely no regard for the rule of law in the United States. And it's their way or no way.
Well, it's like the Durham investigation. He slow rolled that whole investigation and left President Trump. He didn't protect his boss. Mm-hmm. And he slow rolled him. He's still slow rolling. It's terrible.
That's why when you sit here and you say, I was thinking about, you know, you could define the Democrat, you could define Republican, and that's for identity purposes. But it's turning out that there's no difference in the leadership of both parties. They're all the same sorted individuals. We have a United States Constitution, a Constitution that is quite clear. The right to bear arms shall not be infringed.
Mm-hmm.
What part of that don't you understand? The United States Supreme Court has upheld that. What part of that don't you understand? But you know what, Al? Let's tug at the heartstrings of Americans, okay? Let's go ahead and exploit these mass shootings, and let's make sure that we make soft targets out there, movie houses and schools, and then proclaim that we're going to fix the gun laws. Well, it's not the gun laws, okay? The Democrat Communist Party, the Democrat Destructive Party has disintegrated, caused the disintegration of the nuclear family. They've done that over the last 60 years. They did it intentionally using these Marxist tactics. And now what are we seeing out of society today? The lack of respect. Don't respect law enforcement. Don't respect your elders. I read where some guy threw a 65 or 70-year-old woman off the tracks at a subway. Thank God she didn't get killed. He just shoved her off the platform. This is how sick these bastards are. They're walking into grocery stores and to department stores, and they're just stealing stuff as if they're entitled to this stuff. Where is the rule of law? Where is the respect? Oh my!
I don't know. All I see is the Republicans trying to make excuses, and they're bloviating on Fox News, Newsmax, all the stations going, well, the Democrats should be doing this and that in order to fix the problem. But here's the problem. President Biden comes in and says, all right, well, we have high gas prices, so we'll dole out gas cards for everybody with $50 or $100 on it. And that's their solution. But I'm sorry. The Republicans, if you intentionally cut a police budget, you want more crime on the streets. If you intentionally cut back the supply of oil, you want gas prices to go up. If you intentionally print trillions of dollars without more goods, you want inflation to hit hard and everywhere in every sector of the economy. If you intentionally leave the border wide open, you want more drug trafficking and you want human trafficking, and you want and think that you're going to have Democrat voters for decades to come. Now, when you know that a huge baby formula shortage is coming down the pike based on the FDA's action and you do nothing, you intended for this crisis to happen. So the Democrats want this crisis. They want chaos. They want riots. They want conflicts in your town. And their stated purpose years ago with Obama was to take the U.S. down a few notches on the world stage, as we've said here many times. And you can feel the quality of your life going down with the country, a malaise. These are not foolish or misguided people, these Marxist Democrats. They are headed somewhere you don't want to go, and it's an evil, dark place. They want to destroy. They want to destroy our republic, our constitutional republic, and replace it with a Marxist or communist form of government. And yes, there are evil people in the world who want to do that. There are evil people in the world who do not want freedom and liberty at all costs. And Afghanistan is a great example of that. We were there for how many years and spent how many billions of dollars, Vito?
17 years. 20 years, yeah.
7 multiple billions. We built schools. We built airports. We built wells. We made their lives better. We gave the women. We got them into schools. We educated them. And then we're gone. And then within 2 weeks, the Taliban take over, and they willingly submit. Well, they willingly submit because the power is in the hands of a fellow Muslim government, which is the Taliban. They respect Islam. They respect the law. We are the infidel. We should have learned that lesson long before 17 years. And now the Chinese are there raping Afghanistan of all of their heavy metals and their rare earth metals to control the lithium and solar panel market. And they took a combined – they don't care if the Taliban kill their own people or if ISIS kills the Taliban or if they both kill their own people. They don't care if the Sunnis are killing the Shia are killing the Sunnis. All they do is they give checks to the Taliban, ISIS, and they pay off who they need to so they can get what they want within these rare earth minerals, and then they'll do it all from Bagram Air Force Base and fly it out.
And what does that leave America? It leaves America dependent once again.
Right.
You know,
based on good intentions.
Yeah, based on good – yeah, it wasn't good intentions. It's interesting. I was listening to Paul Sutliff's show, The Sutliff Report, on Thursday. He had Claire Lopez as a guest, and Claire was outlining, you know, about fertilizers and goods and crops and how she outlined how Russia and Ukraine, you know, combined, they make up 50% of the fertilizing for farmers in the, you know, around, I think in the United States. And what she was laying out, the facts that she was laying out was really, really impressive and eye-opening. And, you know, at some point in time, you can't say the government's naive without thinking that they're just plain destructive. First of all, you can't think that the Taliban is suddenly going to open up and reject their prior platform, which is to enslave girls, enslave young women and not give them an education. And what's coming out of Afghanistan now? Huh? What stories are coming out? Read the Gatestone Institute. You're not sure, okay? Clarion Report. And how the Taliban now is denying education to girls. And now the people in government are shocked. How could this happen? This is what the Taliban did before we went into Afghanistan. This is what the Taliban's doing now that you allowed them back in power. This is the Islamic way, the fundamentalism of Islam. And you act like you're shocked that this could happen? Do you think the Taliban cares about your opinion? You know, that's why when it started out with the rant, you know, we've addressed and we brought to light what the Muslim Brotherhood's intentions were for the United States for over 10 years. And at one point, Paul Sutliff would start his show by reading the explanatory memorandum as written by the Muslim Brotherhood. The Ikhwan must understand that their work in America is kind of a grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within. And it's happening from within. And not just that, you have these Marxists who have the same ideology and the same disdain for our constitutional republic who are working from within to destroy America from within. One story we didn't get to is in the Boston mayor, Michelle Wu. She lets a radical, a fundamentalist, a devout fundamentalist, is now the deputy chief of staff in Boston, Massachusetts. I mean, I sit here and I wonder how Massachusetts just lost its way. Did the Kennedys have that much of a liberal impact on that state? You know, here it is that Boston, Massachusetts is known for what? It's known for the shot heard around the world. It was the catalyst for the Revolutionary War, where Americans died for freedom and liberties that we enjoy today. And this very state has succumbed not just to the political correctness and multiculturalism, the cancer of those two, but now to the ideology that states the Iquam must understand that work in America is a kind of a grand jihad in eliminating, destroying the Western civilization from within. And how is it that politicians in America don't get this? How is it that they're so self-absorbed now? They're so greedy that they don't really care about who is has got their hands in America's coffers, because that same entity is padding your pockets, padding your campaign. Because the Muslim Brotherhood knows and understands the best way to do that is what? Throw money at your campaign. We talked about it earlier. George Soros, what is he doing? Going around the country and he's padding campaigns of anti-Americans, of anti-constitutionalists. He's padding their campaigns. And they take it. I mean, this is insane what we're seeing today. I can't believe that there are people that are that naive in government. When you have brilliant individuals like Claire Lopez, Daniel Pipes, Daniel Greenfield, Robert Spencer, articulate so well what we're up against. But boy, if you have the dollars, you can overlook the fact of a congresswoman marrying her brother and defrauding the United States government and then cheating on her campaign finance forms. And then proclaim when she starts spewing anti-Semitic rhetoric on the United States House floor and state. Well, she doesn't have command of the English language. And then you have Rashida Motherfucker Tlaib, who sits there on the House floor and condemns Israel. But hey, have they condemned Hamas for chasing out Palestinian Bedouins out of their houses and their land in the Gaza Strip? No one talks about that. Haven't seen Rashida Motherfucker Tlaib out there on her soapbox crying and whining about Hamas stealing land from Palestinian Bedouins. Are these politicians that fraudulent because they're so fucking corrupt? And who pays for it? The people of America, the United States of America. Our Constitution is in jeopardy because of these power-hungry anti-Americans. Yeah, exactly. Oh, my gosh.
Well, hell, during the Vietnam War, the hippies and all the protests against the war, that was all funded by the communists, by the Russian communists.
Yeah.
And it was out there, and it was considered a conspiracy theory, but it happened then. Our enemies wanted us to lose the Vietnam War, and they succeeded. They didn't do it with bombs and bullets. They did it at home. They broke our back. They broke our will with the peace movement. And that was by design.
And they had help of who, the U.S. media, didn't they? Wasn't it Walter Cronkite who erroneously reported about the Tet Offensive? The United States actually did win that Tet Offensive, but they reported in such a manner that the North Vietnamese were actually were effective and seriously jeopardized the United States or whatever, however he worded it, and it turned out it was not true.
Yep, the most trusted man in America was a media whore.
Yeah, exactly.
Human being. And now all these pukes are now running the government. They're now in charge. All these 60s hippie babies and their kids, they're now running the show. They're running the Democrat Party. They put us into this mess within a year and a half.
You know, I'm glad you said about their kids. I got to tell you this. If something didn't sit right with Paul Pelosi being let off, Nancy Pelosi's husband, who was involved in an automobile accident. Turns out he was driving under the influence. He was drunk. So, you know what? It's like, we understand the elitists, and they're not subject to the same laws that we the people are, that they enforce on. So I started looking into the San Francisco a little bit more. And interesting little factoid here. The San Francisco district attorney is named Chessa Bowden, B-O-U-D-I-N. You want to know who Chessa Bowden's legal guardian parents were or are? Take a guess.
Not Bobby Bowden. He's a great man.
No. Yeah, it's B-O-U-D-I-N, by the way. Not
oh, B-O-W. like a New Orleans Bowden.
Yeah. Yeah.
I give up.
There you go. Okay. So Chessa Bowden's legal guardians were Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn.
Yes. Oh, my.
And you know why Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn are his legal guardian? Because Bowden is the son of Kathy Bowden and David Gilbert, former Weather Underground members who also joined the May 19th Communist Organization. That's the name of the group, May 19th Communist Organization. So Kathy Bowden in 1981... and her husband, David Gilbert, got in line with the black organization to rob a Brinks truck in October of 1981. They stole $1.6 million from a Brinks armored car. Kathy Bowden shows up with her son, her baby boy, at the event to steal this Brinks truck, okay? So Bowden and her husband and the Black Liberation Organization, they end up killing three people. They killed the Brinks guard, Peter Page. They killed two NYAC police officers, NYAC New York police officers, Edward O'Grady and Waverly Brown, and they seriously wounded a police detective, Artie Keenan. The driver of the Brinks truck survived, but he was seriously wounded. His name was, I don't have his name, sorry. So Kathy Bowden showed up in a little yellow Honda with her son, her baby boy, with the intention to rob this Brinks truck. So they end up in a shootout, and they're captured, okay? I think an off-duty corrections officer, if I read it correctly, is the one that got Kathy Bowden. So Gilbert was granted clemency by outgoing New York Governor Andrew Cuomo on August 23rd, 2021, reducing his minimum period of parole ineligibility from 75 years to 40 years. So for the three counts of murder, Chase Bowden's father, David Gilbert, received 25 years for each murdered cop. That's 75 years. Andrew Cuomo, before he left, he commuted the sentence down to 40 years. In October 2021, the New York Parole Board granted Gilbert's request for parole as of late November 2021. Gilbert spent 40 years in prison. He was 77 at the time of his release. So you said about, now it's the Marxist children that are running things. And we watch how San Francisco has become a cesspool of crime. We watched how that once fine city has turned into a shithole. And you've got Walgreens, a large drugstore chain, has pulled out of the city of San Francisco because of the crime. Now, I'm not saying the entire city is crime-riddled. But, you know, you start looking at, why is this happening? Who is behind this? And then you said about the kids. And I was looking through, and it was Paul Pelosi. Why did Paul Pelosi get off? How could he have gotten off? I mean, obviously, you know, the governor of California is Nancy Pelosi's nephew by marriage. So there's a lot of political influence there. But now you look at the San Francisco district attorney. His legal guardian parents are Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, members of the Weather Underground. And you wonder how the Marxists get in control and how they pervert the laws of the United States of America. And his parents, Chase Bowden's parents, Kathy Bowden and David Gilbert, were part of the, they joined the May 19th communist organization, as did Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers. Who, by the way, Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, they launched the political career of one Barack Hussein Satoru Obama, Barry Satoru, before he went to Pakistan and he came back as Barack Obama once again. Nothing
wow,
to see here, folks.
That is a tangled web of generational Marxism in America.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, why isn't yes. Rona McDaniel, the spokesperson, chairwoman for the GOP, screaming what you just said in 5 minutes? That's what
I don't
people
know.
Need to know.
Yeah.
Hell, I thought I had a pretty good handle on this stuff, and I didn't know all the connections that you just laid out there.
And I, you know what? And Google didn't suppress it. So thank you, DuckDuckGo, and thank you, Google. And I want to thank Bigfoot'sPlace.blogspot.com as well, because that was the catalyst for my inquiry into all this. It's like, you know, you sit there and you say, people aren't that naive. And this doesn't happen by accident. And it's not a coincidence that Paul Pelosi gets off. So what dots should be connected? So everywhere from Bill Ayers, Bernadine Dorn, the Weather Underground, Prairie Fire, which is what they wrote back in 1974, they meaning Ayers and Dorn, okay, their little communist manifesto, to the Brinks robbery in 1981, and then you find the relationship between the San Francisco district attorney and Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn. Oh, and you know, one other little factoid that probably didn't, you know, I came across during this read. So then the name Sirhan Sirhan comes up, right? Now, in Prairie Fire in 1974, Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn and David Gilbert all hail Sirhan Sirhan they paid him homage, okay? And in, let me see, what was it? Robert Kennedy's son, Senator Robert Kennedy, his son was giving a speech in Illinois, and apparently it was Bill Ayers who was up to get some award, and it was Robert Kennedy's son who made sure that the University of Illinois did not award Bill Ayers because of he and Dorn lauding Sirhan Sirhan for being an activist. And, of course, Sirhan Sirhan is the person who assassinated his father, Robert Kennedy. I thought, wow, that's interesting. I thought the Kennedys were a lockstep and all this, but no, there's some resentment that's harbored, and you know what? And rightly so. And it goes to show what the old Democrat Party used to be. There used to be some sense of value. Yeah, we would disagree on policy issues, but at some point we can come together on opinions. And it's good to see where the Robert Kennedy family is very surprising. I'm telling you, I'm surprised by Robert Kennedy Jr. I'm surprised by Robert Kennedy's other son, Chris Kennedy, I think is his name, who spoke out vehemently opposing any type of award being given to Bill Ayers.
Should be a no-brainer.
Right? Right? It should be.
Do these people love America? Do they love our republic and what it stands for? They love our Constitution, our founding fathers. They love our Bill of Rights. It gives them the opportunity and freedom to spew such garbage, hate, and vileness. No.
No. Nope.
They hate us. They hate you. They hate me. They hate everybody listening. They hate people who love our country and are patriots like us, and we are a majority, silent, but we are a majority.
Well, they hate you because you're Jewish. I mean, that's the, I mean, and of course, nobody wants to admit that.
Well, hey, they're not big fans of the Italians because they love Italian food, like we all do.
Right? Like we all do.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
Nobody goes out for Jewish food. They go out for Italian food.
I got to correct you there. I do. I go out for, man, I found a great Israeli restaurant. Oh, my God. The shawarmas are the best I've ever eaten. Oh, my Lord. Oh. So, yes, I do. And you know what else surprised me about the
what
Israeli
surprised
food?
You? Hmm?
Well, the kebabs were outstanding, but what was really good, and I try not to eat with the French fries. The French fries were the best French fries I've ever eaten. And I love McDonald's. I haven't had McDonald's fries in a while, but I mean, I've been eating very, but, and hopefully Simone Nicole, Joshua is not listening, but I ate, these fries were fantastic. Oh my God. You guys know how to make French fries.
Who knew?
I'm telling you.
That's right up there with the Jewish Book of Professional Athletes. It's a very quick read.
Now that's funny. I don't care what anybody says. That's funny. Oh,
see,
man.
We're able to poke fun at ourselves, but our world has become so politically correct that you can't even do this anymore because you'll be labeled, and that's sad.
Yeah.
You know, I find that very sad.
Well, it is, and we've reached that political correctness agenda. We've reached that point where in America that the Marxist and the woke culture has taken over, and we have politicians who are feeding that fury, and it's really sickening what we're seeing today happen in politics, and the fact that the U.S. Supreme Court justices, the executive branch of government. I'm sorry, the judicial branch of government has come under such fire is an absolute disgrace. Honest to God, I'm so outraged because the attack on the judicial branch of government it shouldn't be a political thing. This is an apolitical organization, and yes, the justices are appointed by a Republican president, a Democrat president. And they may have different views, but the fact is that Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Justice Scalia were best of friends, and that's the way it should be. Both had their own ideals and their values based on their interpretation of the U.S. Constitution, but Justice Scalia interpreted the Constitution as it was written, and now you've got a formal attack on the judicial branch of government. Which is leading that attack is the legislative and the executive branch. And that is an attack on our Constitution. That is an attack on our republic. And I find that reprehensible. And I find that treasonous, actually. And the fact that Senator Coons and Schmuck Schumer can stand up there and state, well, you know, my house, at my house, that they, people pick it all the time. Well, excuse me, you're not a Supreme Court justice. You don't fall under subsection 1507. The rule of law, it does matter. But let's pick and choose how to interpret the rule of law, just like you want to destroy the Second Amendment, you scumbag. God. I tell you, just... And I think I didn't mean to say that David Gilbert was I was wrong in saying that David Gilbert was an author of the Prairie Fire. It was not. It was Bernadine Dorn Villiers, Jeff Jones, and Celia Sojourn. So that's my bad on that one. But if you get a chance to read it, it's worth the read, and you can get into the mindset, and it just goes to show what we are seeing today is what was written in 1974 and laid out by the Marxists.
Yeah, this just didn't all happen yesterday.
Mm-mm. No, it did not. It did not. You know, and another person who has really followed that anti-American sentiment, of course, is John Lurch Carey. And that son of a gun continues to leech off of taxpayer teat and is another individual that should not be given the time of day. I find that man just to be so anti-American. It boggles the mind how he continues to resurrect. But as long as they keep, putting these radicals and these anti-constitutionalists in the White House, they seek out all of these other anti-constitutionalists like John Lurch Carey. It's disgusting.
Yeah, he sold America to the Iranians. The Iranians say death to America all the time. That's one of their big chants when they get together is death to America, death to America. And there's even familial relations between him and the Iranian leadership.
Yes.
There's family ties in there.
His daughter married the Iranian, a key Iranian government official. Yeah.
Yeah. And he goes to the World Economic Forum just this year and is palling around with the Iranian representative at the World Economic Forum, which is led by George Soros and his son.
Yeah. That's a good point, too. George Soros and his son. Yeah, George Soros' son is another piece of work. And you wonder, you sit there and say, how does George Soros do it? But his son, is also complicit in this. I mean, he's trained him quite well. And we should be really concerned about, now that you said it, the children now taking over for the individuals.
Yeah, his name is Alexander Soros, and he's got a Twitter presence. And I follow everything that he writes on Twitter. And he's a bad kid, just like his dad. Evil.
Yeah.
Let's say
evil.
Not bad, evil.
Yes.
Boy, we're just a ray of sunshine. What's some good news?
Hey, the good news is tomorrow night, Eric from Kafiristan with the Cross of the Crescent at 6 p.m. Wednesday, Hank Jones and Poly Sports at 5:30 p.m. Hank's going to go a little bit more on the cycling aspect of one bumbling Biden. Thursday, is Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffia Report. Hey, if you get a chance to listen in archives, listen to last week's show with Paul. He had Eric on there as well, and they were interviewing Claire Lopez. She had a great interview. Great job, Paul. Friday is Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday. He always has a good guest on. And Saturday's Minister Simon Dakduk and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam. I got to say this about Minister Osama Dakduk. We've known Osama now for over 12 years, and he hasn't changed in those 12 years. But the one thing that has happened even more is he's become a target by the anti-American Islamic movement, which is the Muslim Brotherhood front group CARE. And they bully and they abuse and they attack this man on a daily basis. And they stalk him wherever he goes around the United States to talk. But you know something? God bless Minister Osama Dakduk. God bless him, because he's the Energizer Bunny. He speaks Arabic. If you haven't heard his show, he speaks Arabic. He speaks English. He knows the Bible fluently inside and out. He knows the Quran, and he's a threat to Islam because he does not take their dawah. So listen to Minister Osama Dakduk, 10 p.m. on Saturday evenings. And Eric from Kafiristan's back with the Interfaith Dialogue, the Real Interfaith Dialogue. I believe it's at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a simulcast, so you'll be able to listen. And if you want to get an education on Interfaith Dialogue, on Christianity, Judaism, and Islamism, it's a great show. Eric does a fantastic job. And Alan and I will be back on Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Hey, G-Ski is in the house. I wanted to say God bless you, G-Ski. And I know he's with Airwaves of America. They've taken a little bit of sabbatical on Blog Talk Radio. Andy, Southern Sense Talk Radio with a great sidekick, Curtis Bennett, Mr. Author Curtis Bennett, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. on Friday afternoons. Chief Simple Facts of Life, Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Simone Nicole Show, 8 p.m. Wednesday evenings. Wednesday evenings. If you want a break from politics and Islam, and a great self-help show, Joshua is a great source of information and will teach you about great self-help stuff. And, of course, Audrey Russo, Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursdays. Go to AudreyRusso.com and check out her show. Bigfoot's Place.blogspot.com. Bigfoot has a great blog. Please check him out. Ducky Northwest, thank you. G-Ski America, good to see you, G-Ski. Alaskan, You got Gulf Dogs in the house. I Guy, Sue from New Mexico, thank you so much. A new listener out there is Red Romer. You guys all have a nice evening out there. Thank you so much for joining us. God bless you guys. Now.
Adios, amigos. Timer's all off.
Yeah, you said 4 seconds left. joining us. How about that? Joining us.
Boy, that went fast.
Sure did. Yeah,
but I tell you, that was a great, great link with the with Boudin and Air. I did not know any of that. That's you need to go over that again next week if you think about it.
Okay. Yeah, and it was by accident, Al. I came across that article about Maine, and it was on in Big's Blogspot. I think it was Friday, and I found the story. And then on the side of the story, there's a picture of Paul Pelosi in his drunken mugshot. And it's like, you know, if Soros is funding, you know, these obscure places, you know, the state's attorneys, who's out there in San Francisco or that area? So I started looking up in different counties, and then San Francisco popped up. And then this Chase Boudin comes up, Bowden. And it's like, And then legal guardian parents were Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn. It's like, son of a gun. Oh, my God. And then I read about the Brinks Armor truck theft, $1.6 million. And both his parents were involved in that stick up in the deaths of the Brinks Armored and the two police officers. And the boot, his mother, Bowden's mother, Kathy Bowden, brought him to the scene. It's incredible. This is how demented these people are.
Yeah. And now they're teaching at Columbia or some Ivy League school.
Yeah, so he's retired now, Bill Ayers, but he was teaching at Columbia. Yeah, yep, and the University of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, and you wonder, you know, the University of Illinois and the University of Chicago is where the Ayers and Dorn. I think Dorn's at the University of Chicago, and that's kind of funny because Elena Kagan was also teaching at the University of Chicago. Oh, my gosh. Look at that. Nothing to see here, folks. Jesus. Wow. I mean, it's talk about incestuous. Holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
And we wonder how the rule of law is being perverted all across America. It's mind-boggling, but it's not. Because when you sit down and you take the time to connect the dots, you start to understand what is going on here. And it's a concerted effort. And as you said, Al, this didn't happen overnight. And that's the part that really is troubling. It did not happen overnight.
No, it's generational.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just... And for seasoned politicians as well, as long as these politicians have been in power, and it goes to show how long the Pelosi's, the Bidens, the Schumers have been in power, and they have nothing to show for it except a constant downward turn. It's funny, this week, just in looking at all this stuff and connecting the dots, and I still kind of get into it with people with regards to Trump. And it's like, excuse me, but seriously, how bad was Trump? I mean, what was so bad about Donald Trump that you still harbor this much resentment? Well, he lied. Did he really? About what? And then you go into it, and it's like, did you know, it's proven now that Hillary Rodham Clinton was engaged in a false dossier. It was proven that the Russian collusion was just a made-up, manufactured charge. And complicit in this was the Obama-Biden regime. And you go through, and it's like, you okay paying $5 a gallon for gasoline? You okay with empty shelves? You know, the impact of inflation has impacted everybody, irrespective of party affiliation and income brackets. Mm-hmm. And then as we talked last week, also the seniors are impacted terribly by this, terribly. And working Americans and working families, you know, all the segmented and the fraction groups that the destructive Democrat Party professes to help, they have absolutely destroyed or in the process of destroying. And then the other question is, will Biden do anything with the prince or do they really want to deal with Biden? Well, of course they want to deal with Biden. Why wouldn't they want it? Do they want to deal with Trump? And the answer to that is no. And I'll tell you, in my opinion, why they won't want to deal with Trump. Because Trump will make America energy independent once again, as he did in 13 short months, made America energy independent. And in less than 6 months, Biden took us off of energy independence and made us energy dependent. And now he's subservient to the Saudis and OPEC. And now Biden's going to travel to Saudi Arabia with his tail between his legs, the big man on campus, the big cheese, who also talked big during the campaign, is going to sit there and grovel about OPEC increasing production. So guess what? They're going to tease us. Gas is going to go from $4.75 a gallon down to what, $3.89 a gallon. Look what we did. We got OPEC to lower, you know, to increase production, and you know, you're saving at the pump. No, we're not saving. You're still costing us double of when you got in, you jackwad.
So I look at it a little different. This is what Biden wants. He wants this high inflation. He wants high gas prices. Why the hell is he going to Saudi Arabia? If I was the Saudis, whom I don't like, I hate, they better look out because they're getting set up for something, because Biden doesn't want their oil. He wants high gas prices. So what's he going to be giving? What is he going to give the Saudi Arabians? What kind of deal? What's he going to work? That's what I'm wondering. I think
okay.
It's a double game.
So the way I'm looking at it is this. We're in June, okay? So he's going over
right.
I believe in July, okay? So we're feeling at the pump right now, and of course not just personally at the as we fill up, but also we're feeling it in other aspects, purchase of tires, plastics, and then of course in buying groceries. Okay, so here's July, and July we reach probably, let's say we reach $5 a gallon in Florida. I saw it kind of went down about 10 cents. So now, you know, the big man on campus goes to Saudi Arabia, and he strikes a deal with the Saudis and OPEC to increase production. So they increase by, let's say, 2 million barrels a day. Just say. So gas now goes from $4.89 a gallon, and it drops to $3.99. And then right around October, gas drops down to $3.30, $3.39 a gallon. Now, it's the middle of October, and suddenly we start to see a $2 relief per gallon. And it's like all of a sudden Biden emerges from out of his hole, and he said, look, what we're doing, you know, we need to maintain Congress because we're bringing oil prices down, gas prices down, and it's through my hit him in the side. My negotiations that we continue to bring down gas prices, and we still try to hit him again. We still try to push renewable energies, okay, and climate change. And then people say, oh, well, look, he's starting to bring down gas prices. And then by October 31st, gas is at $3.15 a gallon, and he's our savior. And the Democrats have saved America once again, and prices start to come down. And then, you know, the massacre, the red wave that we were told was going to happen doesn't happen.
Hmm.
And all bets are off.
I like how you think. That makes perfect sense.
You know, you said you got to think like them, and that's what I've tried to do, try to think like these scumbags.
Well, I think you're onto something there.
He's not Biden is not an honest man. He's not an honest man.
He's a Marxist.
Yep. Yep.
Should be in jail, what he should be. Hunter too. And then and then his daughter's diary. Have you been following that at all?
You know, I have not. Is it that bad?
I was reading part of it. I don't know how I found it. I Googled the daughter's name,
okay,
and then went to images, and then there were images of the diary that someone had put up on the internet. So I followed that link and then started reading some of the pages in the diary that were available.
Okay.
There was one where she says she showered with her dad. And then I read somewhere else, there wasn't an age, so you didn't know what age that was, but someone else had posted, I don't know if it's true, that the age of the daughter was 14.
Oh.
Yeah, oh. That's seriously fucked up. Yeah, I mean, at any age, unless a baby,
yeah,
you know, unless it's a baby, but holy cow, there's some pretty nasty business in there.
God, that's one dysfunctional family. Oh my God, that is just it's unbelievable what we're seeing today. I mean, this guy is who they anointed, really, seriously. Wow.
I don't know. That might explain some of the creepy behaviors.
Yeah. Or,
I mean, the sniffing, all this hair sniffing and all that.
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness gracious. That
then
is
he even,
disgusting.
Remember that picture of him sniffing Coons' daughter's hair?
Yeah.
And she has this terrified look on her face. So sad.
Oh, my God. Holy cow.
That's just some evil rabbit hole to go down, I'll tell you.
Yeah, so can you imagine then? Boy, the media would so love for Trump's daughters to air her diary while Trump was president, but yet this same scumbag media, the same DNC state media, they're doing everything and anything they can to suppress, you know, any news about Biden, his daughter, and, of course, Hunter Biden in that laptop. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about politics, sex, drugs, and corruption. It's got it all. That should be on the front pages. But it's not.
I know. Oh, my God. The images that are coming off of Hunter's laptop, and I mean, this guy is one sick individual.
Mhm.
Wow. Oh. It's I can't believe I would have never thought we'd ever come to this. I'll tell you. I guess that's just flat out being naive. You know, you had some reverence for elected officials at one point, but I've got zero anymore.
Mhm.
I mean, wow. Oh, my God. It's just absolutely incredible, man. All right. Well, you were. We were a ray of sunshine today. It was really nice.
yes, spreading joy and happiness and depressing everybody. That's what we do. We don't make the news. We just report it.
Yeah, we just report it, and it was some interesting news. And I, you know, that sorry, I had to go down that Amy Coney Barrett. It just really bothered me. It just
no,
wow,
that was a good rant.
These whole government issue is just, it's a freaking law. Let's create another. We gotta pass new laws. Well, why don't we just, like Greg Gutfeld said, why don't we just enforce the laws that are currently on the books? Hey, that's a novel idea.
Yeah, and it's all made up. Even if it would go back to the states, Roe v. Wade, it would go back to the states where it belongs, and each state will decide what they want to do.
Right.
That's
exactly.
All. No one's taking a woman's right to have an abortion away.
And isn't it ironic that the same left wing, though, doesn't say a word about Ruth Bader Ginsburg stating that Roe v. Wade was a poor decision or something like that. Even she was dumping on Roe v. Wade. It was poorly written, I think she said. Nobody talks about that, the icon of liberalism.
Nope.
Jeez. Oh, man, I'll tell you, we'll see what happens, definitely.
All right, well, you have a great week. Good show
Thank
as
you.
Always.
Yeah, I'll be talking to you sometime this week, and have a good one. Sue, thank you for the call. Really appreciate that, and... let's see what happens this week with the Supreme Court and the destructive Democrat Party.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll get out there, play some golf, hit them straight.
You too. Yeah, I'm going to try. I cracked my driver head, man. God almighty. Not even cracked it. It cracked. I'm so I don't know what to do.
Now you get some new equipment. What are you talking about?
You
get
know
that new tailor-made driver, the one that's made out of the carbon fiber?
You know how much that driver is?
It?
Yes.
No
you know
idea.
How much?
$599. $600?
I'm not spending $600 for a freaking driver.
Holy
Are you kidding?
Mac, I'd like to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to go and hit it just to see what it does.
I would love to, too, but I'm not spending – oh, my God. I did see where PXG is having a sale on their drivers, $299, that for their last-generation driver. Now, that's kind of palatable, and maybe it'll take a trade. I was thinking about calling Callaway to see if there's a if they'll give me a break on a driver, like the new Rogue. I'm going to do that this week, as a matter of fact, to see. But I'm not spending $400 for a fucking driver. God.
Well, Callaway, you know, they're pretty good about if you catch the right person on the right day, they're pretty good about keeping you in the Callaway family, you know?
That's a good point. Yeah, that is a good point. I mean, I love the Great Big Bertha. I mean, I know it was 2015 model, but... Oh, I was looking at it. It's like, God, it just doesn't, something's not right. It's not feeling right. And I'm looking at it, and then I was playing with a mutual friend of ours, and he looked at it. He goes, hey, your driver's cracked. It's like, and then, of course, the other guy says, you did say something that didn't feel right. It's like, oh, my God, really? So I hit it again Saturday, and it's just cracking even more. It's like, oh, my God. It's a hairline crack, but it's all across the bottom now. I was so disappointed.
Yeah, it served you well.
I know.
Now you can get new equipment.
Yeah. You know what? If you could tell it to Mrs. Vito, it would be great. I would appreciate that. She'll listen to you.
I don't know. She's got her own mind. She's just very stubborn. In a good way.
Talk to her, Al, please. All right, we'll have to get off there. We'll have to get off the line, but talk to her, Al.
Hell, I can barely get my wife to do it.
My wife likes you, Al. She'll listen to you.
Well, somebody will. That's nice.
That's nice.
I didn't think anybody listened to me. Well, thanks for brightening my day. That makes me feel good. Now I'm happy.
See, something came out of this.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Hey. Have a good evening.
Thanks. You too, man.
All right.
Bye, Sue.
Adios.
Love you, Sue. Bye.
Bye, Sue.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.